So the Gemara in Yoma tells the story of the Beis Avtinas, and it's based on a pasuk in Matos. In the end of Matos, Moshe Rabbeinu insists B'nei Gad, B'nei Ruven, Chatzi Shevet Manasha, they essentially form a contract. This becomes the model for all Dinei Tanayim. Whenever two people establish a transaction and want to say the transaction, the Kiddushin, the Gittin, the Mechira, should be contingent upon a certain event, you can't just stipulate the Tanai. You have to articulate the Tanai with the four conditions that exist in Parshas Matos. So they're called Mishpatei Tanayim. So you have to write the Tanai in a very specific way, or say the Tanai in a very specific way, without going into the details of how you construct the Tanai. And Moshe says, I want you to be so scrupulous and so honest and so careful and vigilant, V'isim Nikim Ve'ashem Ve'Yisrael, so that no one will have any suspicion that you're cowardly, no one will have any suspicion that you're selfish, and not just that the Jewish people won't have any suspicion, Hashem won't have any suspicion, and not just that Hashem won't have any suspicion, but the people won't. This serves as the makor for Halacha Kol Ma'ariv Zayin. The person can't just do what's right, but if you elicit suspicion from people, you have to be careful about that also. You can't take actions to elicit suspicion. The halacha itself of Ma'ariv Zayin is a very delicate halacha, because if you're, especially in today's day, where there's a lot of social pressure sometimes not to be religious, so if you turn to someone who's always sensitive to social pressure, then you may not have the defiance to walk your own way and to keep halachos even when people scorn at you. So it used to be that when most of society was religious, so in that context, so you want to be very, very sensitive to the overall interests of society, what they're going to think about you. You know, in Europe, in the Musa Yeshiva, each Musa Yeshiva chose its own midah that it wanted to focus on. One midah that you could break all of religion down to. So in the famous Musa Yeshiva of Nevardok, the midah was defiance. They were going to a store, to a meat store, and order a hammer. And the butcher would say, "You idiot, you fool, why are you ordering a hammer? This is a butcher." And, okay, this is a good time for me to train myself not to care what people think about me. Because if I care too much in the 19th century, well, people think about me, I'll become an atheist, or I'll become a modernist, or I'll become an assimilationist. So, strangely, in a world that sometimes the pressure not to be religious is overwhelming, sometimes you have to be less concerned with social interests and how people are going to look at you, and be more prepared to say, this is what I believe is correct, these are my convictions, and stand by my convictions. So it's a very delicate halacha to, on the one hand, be sensitive to how you're being seen, on the other hand, you know, when you get to the army, Meretz Hashem, so whether you like it or not, you're the rabbi. I mean, you're the rabbi in terms of the halachos, but you're the dati person. And unfortunately, we haven't fully appreciated, especially in Chutz La'aretz, because for so many thousands of years, we lived on the sides of society, and we had to, no one really looked at the Jews with any honor or with any interest, and we had to cheat and lie like everyone else in the world just to get by because it wasn't a democratic world. Today, we're on stage again, and people are looking at Jews again, and people, even if you're not living in the state of Israel, the fact that there is a state of Israel means there's renewed interest or even critical sneering at what the Jews are doing. You know, a lot of people haven't really caught up with that. They're creating a real Chil Hashem in some cases. But even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that you're a Beinish means that all of a sudden this is the one chance that Chilonim may have to see Yiddishkeit, not just in terms of suspicion, but in terms of Kiddush Hashem. You can't imagine, you know, you're very young and you've grown up in Eretz Yisrael. You can't imagine, Chutz La'aretz, this is very powerful, how many people today are not from, because the one time they met a rabbi or they met a rabbi at some point in their life, they just acted towards them with hostility or insensitivity or racism or something. And I'm not blaming the rabbi. He may have had a bad day. He may not have fully realized how his statements were being interpreted. And it's not, all of a sudden you can't judge religion based on Jews, you know, you have to judge religion based on its own internal logic and internal value. But unfortunately, you never know when your activities will lead to someone's religious erosion and religious corrosion. So that's the base halacha of Parshas Matos. And again, in the modern world, it has to be more delicately applied than it would have been applied in earlier stages. In earlier stages, you have to be hypersensitive to social perspective. Today, you have to be sensitive to what people are thinking about you and religion, but you can't let that sensitivity create vulnerability and weakness. Say, well, if people are looking at me this way, maybe I should be a little bit more careful about my own religious expression. Now, what's interesting about this is because there's an interesting Gemara in Yoma that demonstrates how even seemingly selflessly motivated decisions and behavior can turn to something very selfish if you don't check your motivation, you don't check your attitude, you don't check your character. What happened? So there was a family called Avtinas, Beis Avtinas, it's Gemara in Yoma. And they were experts at making besamim and ketores for the Hakrevas HaKedoros. And they were so careful about public suspicion that they were extremely, extremely fanatical, extremely, extremely devoted. They didn't let any of their girls ever wear perfume. Can you imagine not wearing perfume? You're not girls, so you can't really imagine it. But if you have sisters, perfume is a major part of a woman's preparation, of a woman's daily routine, of a woman's certainly Shabbos and Yontif routine. Can you imagine never, especially in those days? I mean, for us, it wouldn't be so difficult. It would be difficult, but at least you shower and use shampoo. They didn't shower as frequently. So the perfume wasn't just to give them that extra special scent for attraction. Perfume really offset a lot of terrible odors that had accumulated for everyone. Not just women. Everyone was living in a much more odoriferous world, a world with a lot of bad, foul-smelling odors. So the perfume was even more necessary. So this was a major, major commitment on their part. And they also made a condition, not just that their daughters couldn't wear any perfume, but that any time a girl married into the family, she could only marry into the family if she gave up her perfume. Why? Because if the girls, the base of Tinas, would circulate with perfume, people would say, oh, where do they get the perfume from? Probably skimming some of the Ketores. They're probably taking some of the Ketores Asamim and using it for their own benefit. So this is a major, major, this is a heroic application of Yisim Kiyam Hashem Yisrael, not to be over a Marisayim. But it became something of pride. And anything that you do, and even if it's selfless, this is a selfless act. You can't imagine it. It's an act more selfless than never wearing perfume. But it can be perverted, it can warp into something which is self-serving. Because, oh, I'm so selfless, we're the selfless people. So what happened? They refused to stop making ketores. They wanted more money. I'm going to just summarize the story. They were in Yom Lamechus. So they brought in, they want more money. They refused to make it initially. So they had to bring in some experts from Alexandria who knew how to make a settlement. So the experts came in, but they still couldn't get it right. They knew how to collect the besamim and make that spice, but they didn't know how to make it in a way that the smoke and the plume would rise straight up like Beis Avtinas. So they made an announcement, Kol Pa'al Hashem Lemaneu. They quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. Whatever Hashem has given you, all his talents, they're for him. Don't use it in a self-serving fashion. Because they needed them. They refused to come. Finally, they had to give him double the salary. They called him twice and they came. And they asked him, why are you refusing to come? And they said, well, not only are we the base of Tinas that are worried about public opinion, we're also worried that one day the base of Mikdash will be destroyed. And if we just teach people freely how to make the Ketores, someone will use this Ketores recipe for Avodah Zarah. So it sounds like they were being doubly, doubly scrupulous. One is they didn't want people to suspect them. Two is they didn't want this to fall into the wrong hands. But it sounds like it became more of a pride thing. And how do we know? Because the Gemara quotes an epilogue. The Gemara quotes a story. Two moments of Beis Avtinas. On the one hand, they didn't let their children walk around with perfume. On the other hand, they were very, very vigilant about not giving away the secrets. To the point that it sounds like there were a couple of days they didn't have the proper guitarist or their reserves are running low. So what happens? Rabbi Shmuel says, "Pamach hasisim halach b'derech." I was once walking on the road. And I found one of the grandchildren of Beis Avtinas. This is after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Martilo Avosecha Bikshu Laharbos Kivodan Beratzi Lamayit Kvod HaMakom. I told them that your great-grandparents, there was a little bit of selfishness in there. The fact they didn't divulge the secrets wasn't just because they were protecting the secrets that it shouldn't fall into the wrong hands. It became a pride thing. This is our recipe. This is our skill. This is our contribution. We're not going to share with anyone else. And that limited Kvod Hashem, because there were some points that they didn't have the Ketores, and the proper Ketores, and the upgraded Ketores. And Rabbi Shmuel says, now look at us. We're sitting in Galus, or we're sitting in under the control of the Romans, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose Kavod is where it is, and then your family has disappeared off the face of the map. So evidently, at least Rabbi Shmuel believed this behavior, which started with very, very selfless interests, We don't want people to suspect us. We're going to deprive ourselves of perfume. We're not going to give over the recipe because we want to protect it from Avodah Zarah. At some point, it became warped and it was a personal thing. And that means that anything you do, you have to be careful what your motivations are. Because even something you do out of humility, sometimes it could be, well, I'm a very humble person, and I'm going to do it because I want to be the most humble person. Whereas humility sometimes means you have to be flexible, you have to change your mind, you have to give in to other people, you have to take other people's needs into account. So it's a very, very interesting overlay to the Pasuk in Matos, that even behavior, which is selfless, if it's not properly checked, it can become a self-serving and self-interested type of behavior. Okay. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. See you soon. Shabbat shalom.